Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Healing of our land.
Church whose pastor is standing in this place tonight. Give them their city, Lord. Give them their city, Lord. Give them their city, Lord. Give us the nations, Lord. Give us the nations, Lord.
Well, hello, everyone. This is WSCIR on Blog Talk Radio, and this is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, and you're just tuned in to Faith Talks Live Prayer, and it's the second day of spring, although it's midnight, Eastern Standard Time here in the New England area, and in a couple of minutes, in about probably about 1 minute, we're going to go I have a guest, Breege Carroll, and many of you have heard her in two of our previous broadcasts. We're doing an extended broadcast on the Return of the Prodigal Part 2. And in Part 1, we looked at the prodigal son and the older brother, the spiritual states really of the believer, because we're Christians, we're not just pure spirit, we have a flesh and we have the divinity, you know, that we're always in a kind of war between the flesh and the spirit, and in that we have prodigal states and we have the older brother states, you know, and the scriptures, when we looked at Luke 15, I believe it was, we looked at the prodigal, the story of the prodigal son, and I'll just read it really quickly, and then we'll go and put Breege on. We have about 46 minutes remaining. And we figured that there were some things left unsaid, and I didn't want to do the topic injustice by not speaking about, not continuing to speak about the different aspects of the issues between the older brother or the other brother and the prodigal, and the goal of reaching sonship status, okay, which is, you know, understanding who we are in Yeshua, sons and daughters of the Most High God, because we are adopted into the family of God through baptism once we receive Jesus. And what happens is that many times our walk can get aborted by backsliding conditions by persisting in that. And not, you know, and we're not saying that, you know, when we become unsaved, but we come pretty close to it, because we're not walking in the fullness of what we are meant to walk in. And the reason why the goal is to understand who we are in the Lord and to walk in the grace of our calling as sons and daughters of the Most High, is because when we do that, the kingdom of God comes to the earth in a powerful way. So we need to know who we are. And I just wanted to quickly just read the scripture and to refresh your mind about the parable of the lost son from Luke 15. And that would be verses 12. All the way to 31. All right. And this is the words of Jesus in red. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, come on, quick, quick, quick. Bring me the best robe and put it on him. But, I'm sorry, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back home safe and sound.' The older brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Or in today's terms, I never dissed you. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have, everything is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead,'" and he's talking about dead spiritually, "'and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found.'" Okay, so I just wanted to refresh your mind about what's happening, you know, about the story of the prodigal. For those who didn't tune into part one, this story about the prodigal son, we are now going to examine, all right, in the three different states, which a lot of, you know, which Christians find themselves in at different times in. And we may be going through the different, you know, different, a combination of the prodigal and the older brother within our own inner being, in our own inner nature, on our way to sonship. But, you know, we need community to bring us to that place of growth so we can get to that place of sonship and daughtership. Okay, so we are going to look at 7 aspects of where the prodigal is and where the older brother is, and the goal, you know, where one should be, you know, in their journey, you know, towards fulfilling the call of sonship, which includes daughtership, but for the sake of with a word in its sonship. And I'll be going to bridge in a couple of seconds. So we're going to look at the spirituality. We're going to look at the insight that each has, the security level, the condition, the morality, the situation, and the status. Okay? All right, so let me go to bridge right now. We can have this conversation in a minute. Hello, Bridge.
Good morning, Dr. Shirley.
This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in him. Hallelujah.
Yes. And wow, it's really a challenge to get up, right? It's just too difficult. God is I'm telling you, he's in control, and he calls the shots, and we just have to go for it, right? Yeah.
But how blessed we are, though, Dr. Shirley, that we can get up.
Yeah.
His grace,
right.
You know, his grace. And when we step into obedience, right,
mm-hmm.
we hear the Lord saying to us, I have a work for you to do. Okay?
Yes.
Like we're standing around, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this new thing that God is calling the church to, his people to. And so what do, Dr. Shirley? We come to God and say, God, what part of it? What part of it do you want me to have? And then we do it. We do it. We just step out in faith and we do it. We do it. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here with you tonight. And I believe that the Lord is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be glorified. That's what it's all about. He is going to be glorified as we be obedient. He is going to bless us in all things. So it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. Dr. Shirley, you're giving me and the listeners and yourself, God has given us the opportunity to bless us in the obedience, in the obedience, in the obedience to what he is calling us to do. And do you know what? When it's God, it works, and when it's not God, it doesn't work. But praise be Jesus Christ, he looks at the heart, he looks at the motive, he looks at the intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am tonight, Dr. Shirley. I'm just coming to him and saying, you know what, Father God? You have said, you have promised, you have shown. And now, Dr. Shirley, I believe it's a time where it's time, Dr. Shirley, to get, so to speak, step out of the boat or step off the shore into the water like Moses and start out, start out in the obedience of doing what he is calling us to do. Step by step, and keeping our eyes upon him, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but keeping our eyes upon him, and just following the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the land flowing with milk and honey that we have been promised. And that's where I am as past a few months, but God has spoke to me, as I shared with you and our hearers last night, or today, earlier on today, is it today or tonight? I don't even know. And it's not really important. All that is important is that we're here, and we're here. And we're trying to do what we believe God is calling us to do. That's what's important.
And we do have a little over half an hour left. For some reason, they only gave us an hour. If it goes over a little bit, I'm sure that we'll continue on. It's just the live streaming part will not be happening, but we will still give us time to finish. So we just want to just offer up the show to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask
that you, we just invite you into this radio show, and we thank you for the, providing this wonderful opportunity. And we say, Holy Spirit, just have your way, have your way. And let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. Okay, so I was just talking earlier, Breach, before I put you on the mic here, that we're going to look at in a greater detail the three different states that we as Christians find ourselves in. We all start out as prodigals, like we had said in the previous broadcast. But there are certain conditions that certain things that happen within us at the, you know, depending on where, what state we find ourselves in. And there, like you said earlier in the last show, that we, you know, nobody's a total prodigal. There's always, you know, we always have some kind of faith, natural faith. And we have something in us, like a homing device, that's always constantly, you know, trying to get back to the Father. But then we have the older brother syndrome, you know, if we're used to, you know, once we come to the Lord, or if we, you know, have less prodigal trials, and you know, we find ourselves when we're either in relation with our brothers and sisters in fellowship, that, you know, we have some feelings that keep swimming in us, that like, right, I should be happy that, you know, this brother or sister of mine came to the Lord, come, you know, and observing them coming from this great darkness, and you know, and then they seem to like act as if they've been following the Lord, or even being treated like they've been following the Lord for 20 years, because God is using them so powerfully, because of the magnitude of their cross, which, you know, the more crosses you have, the greater resurrection power or resurrection glory comes to your life once you, you know, surrender everything to Him, surrender all the crosses to Him. And so, you know, we're going to look at spirituality, insight, security, condition, morality, and the situation status of each update. And I'm just going to just kind of go into the definitions of this, and then we're just going to talk about it. We're just going to see what the Lord unpacked in here, because this is something that I believe that members of the body of Christ should understand what's going on in order for us to be more effective, you know, and more patient in our walking with our brothers and sisters, you know, who are on different levels spiritually. And we kind of talked about the Catholics Come Home program, where it's more than just a program, it's a call, whether people believe it's a call or a program, that's the human thinking, but it's the Lord using this as a clarion call to have people come closer to Him. It could be, there's also, they have the call, you know, in the greater body of Christ. They have the call for, you know, individuals to come to the Lord, you know, in repentance and from dead works, and to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to be used in the issues of the day, in the social justice issues of the day. So we have these different ways in that the Lord calls us Himself in the different circumstances that we face in our lives. But for the most part, it impacts our spirituality. And let's look in a greater detail. Let's put the microscope up to what is, you know, the product, what is in the heart of the prodigal, you know, in his view of the Lord. Well, it says right here, little love or the fear of God, okay? And maybe because they're trapped in themselves, and, you know, there's, and we don't know what circumstances surrounds the different prodigals that are out there. Only the prodigal knows, and only the Lord knows, but there are things built within the prodigal that God will use as tools to bring the prodigal back to Himself. The older brother syndrome in this whole thing is the fear of the Lord. And, you know, usually the older brother, people that are predominantly, you know, older brother thinking, they always do everything based on the fear of the Lord and not really so much based on the love of God until somebody, you know, challenges them or even the Holy Spirit itself. The whole idea is to get to the, you know, the sonship relationship status, love of God, where, you know, you're just doing everything motivated by the love of the Lord and love for one another. And then, you know, and then the insightfulness that the prodigal has, where in the insight specter, the prodigal walks more in dark, the darkness of thoughts, and has very little to, you know, understand and, or maybe even ignores the consequences of action, you know, that they take, you know, for their own reasons, because maybe because of woundedness, and we'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. The older brother sees these things in the light of judgment, condemnation, and hell. That if you are walking in darkness, you're automatically condemned to hellfire and judgment. And what did the Lord say? He didn't come to this world to condemn it. He came to this world to save it. And, you know, judgment is reserved, you know, to the white, on the day of the white throne judgment. So we're in the season of mercy, and I believe that the issue with the older brother is that, you know, they tend to move more away from mercy and right into judgment, you know, and when things like the Japanese earthquake, tsunami happens, they automatically say it's the hand of God. And it just may be that the Lord is shaking up the nation, like he told us in 2004, and I'll find that prophecy for another day, and that, you know, he's shaking the nation, but he's shaking the nation not because of judgment, because he's returning, and it's the principality and powers that he's dealing with, and once they let go, you know, things have to cave in, and things like that. So, you know, so the idea is to get the prodigal moving more away from the darkness, and you know, and understanding more of the consequences of the thoughts, and that requires prayer, as we observe, you know, with our eyes, people's different states. We have to understand what we're observing as believers, and not so much run and rush into to judge about our sisters, but and also ourselves, but to always be in that mode of prayer. Prayer builds things. Prayer releases things in the heavenly within our being. You know, the prayers, you know, praying, you know, in the Holy Ghost. There's other ways of praying that are not necessarily spirit, you know, Holy Ghost related. But once we are believers and we see the Holy Spirit, we can always rely on prayer to bring us to that place. So, Breach, tell me, if there's something that the Lord's put in your heart, just say, Dr. Julie, can I say? You know, okay. I don't want to, yeah, I know that we're kind of going through this because we did not cover this, and I really felt we needed to. I'm going to look at, you know, one issue that seems to really be prevalent in these two spiritual states that we find ourselves in, depending on the season of our lives. We can go back and forth, you know. We can be prodigal in one area of our life and be older brother in another area of our life and have complete victory in another area of life, you know, and walk in a greater way in the sonship. So we're always constantly growing depending upon what circumstances, situations we are in. Now, with security, the prodigal, more or less, has a false peace from counterfeit affections, like we talked about earlier in the previous broadcast. And, you know, they're searching. You know, they set up the search. But immediately, because of this destructive thoughts and dark thinking, vain imagination, attached to, you know, what they perceive as love, and they attach constantly to counterfeit affections, yes. Bree, do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, Dr. Shirley. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Until we come to Jesus and ask Jesus for the gifts of his spirit, who is love, until we stir into flame, like we're told in Timothy, to stir into flame the gifts and fruits of the Spirit. Well, you see, we've already been given these, the tools, so to speak, for our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, with him, in him, and through him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walk in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and around us.
Yes.
As you have said, prayer,
mm-hmm.
ask, seek, knock, and it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
And we have to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on the Lord, because we don't know what's in another person's heart. We do not know. We might think we know, but we don't know. We haven't a clue. I'm sure Dr. Shirley, like myself, many, many times, it looked like a duck. It quacked like a duck. I thought it was a duck, but guess what? It was not a duck.
That's right.
Because this is a spiritual. This is a spiritual. This is the spiritual battle. We spoke earlier on about the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The flesh, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities. So it's spiritual. So we have to deal with these things spiritually,
mm-hmm.
with the gifts and the tools of the Holy Spirit. And when we, like the prodigal son, look and say this and that and see something else about a brother, well, it's the good works that we have done. We don't see it's Jesus, what Jesus has done in us, mm-hmm. through us, for us. And sometimes, as we spoke earlier about, we have to go into the darkness to receive them treasures, to be stripped of ourselves as our Lord Jesus Christ was stripped. To see who we really are and who we are not. We are not the Messiah. We are not the Messiah. We are not the Messiah. And until we turn to the Lord in prayer, and you have to be called into, the Lord Jesus has to call you into different ministries. Do you know what I mean? That's why he says, I'm the head and you're the body. Some is a hand and some is an arm and some is a leg. Do you know, we'll talk maybe sometime about the five offices. But right now, let me stay focused on the issue at hand. Perfect love casts out fear. The only place where we're going to get this perfect love is God. And we need to come back to prayer to simplify things. We need to just simply come back to prayer. I believe, Dr. Shirley.
Yes. And prayer invites the Holy Spirit, you know, to come into our darkness, the darkness of our thoughts, the obscurity of our thoughts, and is a vehicle, is a way for the Lord to put us back on track. And we may have to repent. We may have to do some things on our part to get to that place where the Holy Spirit is free to move, you know, and move in us. So thank you for sharing that with us, Breach. So, you know, in this, you know, security, the older brother, you know, looks at the, you know, responds, I should say, to the things of the Spirit in observation of himself and others with a sense of urgency, but there's no peace in it. And the way that they view counterfeit affection, no peace at all from counterfeit affection. And, you know, it's a rigid thing, you know, we just stay away from this, blah, 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 blah. And it's more like there's no room to, you know, for the human struggle. It's just, this is what we don't do, and this is it. And there, most people don't grow in that. You know, they either say that if this is useless, if this is, you know, I can't, you know, control, you know, I can't get into, like, harshness of life and controlling. Most people are not cut and dry, is what I'm trying to say. And but when you when people are walking in the sonship and love and complete love of God, all right, which that's from fear of God, but then it can it goes right into the love of God. Then you have peace even when you fall, because you know that you're, you know, the love walk that you are in with the Lord, and that intimate walk with the Lord, that, you know, He is going to be gentle with us, and, you know, and as we place our trust in Him to always keep us aware of His presence in our lives, and also to keep our intimate, you know, to keep us intimately connected with Him, and to know that He is a loving God, and He's always going to will the best for us, is the best thing I can say, you know, even when we feel kind of like, all right, I'm kind of like teeter-tottering, but, you know, I'm not going to fear that the Lord is going to leave me or forsake me, because He says, I will always be with you, you know, and I have trust. Amen.
And also, Dr. Shirley, the Lord says, many times you shall fall down, but each time you fall down, I shall, and you turn to me, that's repenting, you turn to me, I shall raise you up, I shall raise you up, I shall raise you up in the highest heights in me. Isn't that beautiful?
And then when he
does that, Dr. Shirley, when we fall, Dr. Shirley, like we fall, we sin, you know, and He, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, picks us up. He picks us up, and what does He do? He puts us on His shoulder like a little sheep, like a little lamb. And then He shows us and He teaches us in Him to see as He sees, the way things really are.
His ways. He acknowledges His ways.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Says the next verse.
And He shows us. He shows us. When He takes us to Himself, you see, when He picks us up, bends over. I want you to see this now. He bends over, He picks us up, and He puts us on His shoulder. And He says, I want you to see as I see, the way it really is. And I'm not going to put you down there again amongst the others, because you could get trampled on. You stay up here with me, and I shall show you the way things really are.
then he usually breaks the legs of the sheep. Well, the shepherd breaks, in real life, breaks the legs of the sheep once he finds the lost, you know, that one, that 99. He leaves the rest of the flock and gets that one, you know, sheep. And so they won't run away. He breaks out the leg. And so that's why in our weakness, Jesus becomes our strength. Right? He becomes our strength. Now, we want to look at the last four conditions, the morality, situation, and status of the, you know, the, those that are functioning in the prodigal state and those who are functioning in the older brother state, and where the Lord wants to bring us. The condition, of course, of the inner life of ones who primarily are operating continuously in the prodigal state is, you know, bondage to flesh, fleshly bondages. And the older brother entertains legalistic bondages, as we were saying earlier. And the ultimate goal is to get to liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost, just because we know that God is all we have and He's in control. And in the morality part, you know, the prodigal seems to be careless, like it said in the story, squandering, you know, the father's money on loose living, you know, and, you know, prostitution in this case, in this day and age, drug addiction. And knowing, they know that they're sinning. People, most of the time, they know that they're sinning. And it's willing. It's willing as a willingness to sin because they don't know any way out. They really, and maybe because their senses are, you know, are marred by the alcohol, the drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not making the decisions and choices that, you know, that require wisdom, because wisdom is a virtue of the Holy Spirit, and it's just not there because of the sin. And so the older brother, though, believe it or not, for those who persist in this older brother mentality or spirituality, sins unwillingly means that sin comes up. It's like an unwillingness, but they're just so distraught, like, Lord, you know, they are not as forgiven at the same time with themselves, which is a sin. and, you know, and they're just so down on themselves, and it, you know, most of the time it can lead to depression. And this, you know, but once you, you know, are in that sonship, daughtership, you know, place, the love of God compels you not to sin. It's not so much, you know, rules or regulations.
Yes.
More like the love of God. Just is so much a part of you that you just don't have the desire.
That's right, Dr. Shirley.
Yeah.
That's right. And do you know why that is? Because we are in a place in the Lord where we don't want to hurt Him.
Yeah.
Do you know, we want to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, we want to please Him.
Yeah.
And that place in Him, where in Psalm 91, where it says, "He who abides in the shadow of the Most High,
mm-hmm.
who clings to the Lord, do you know, who's do you know, the shadow of the Most High, where we're safe and security." I'm just, I love Psalm 91. It's one of my favorites. Because we're safe. You were talking earlier about security and safe.
Yes.
And how we look for love. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, we're looking for love. We're looking for acceptance. We're looking for, you know, we're looking for security. And we find that in the shadow of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get there, Dr. Shirley? That's what I want to know. How do we get there? How do we get there from our sin and our sin, you know, darkness and the miry pit? How do we get from the miry pit to the shadow of the Most High?
We acknowledge our sin before Him. We come to the end of ourselves, you know, and usually by that point, if many of you have ever been there in the pit, in the pit of destruction, and, you know, where you can't go any more, you can't go any deeper, this thing is, I'm sick, this thing comes over you, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen, sister. Amen.
It's not... You come to that place where you're saying there's no fruit. You know, I'm just, you know, I keep going around a circle, chasing my tail, blah 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 blah. This is the result I'm always getting, and I just want something different. That's when the Lord comes in there. You know, you know some may go right to confession, some may just repent right on the spot, and you know, or you know, if you're a Catholic, go to Mass and. You know, and offer everything up to the Lord before you receive communion. There's so many different ways to give back to the Father. He provides all these ways, you know. And it says in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He will act, you know, and He will act on our behalf, and then He will act and then show us His ways at the same time. It's just awesome. And so, you know, we're going to look at the situation, the status of the prodigal, the status of their hearts, the situation of their heart. In the prodigal, there's no fight. We just talked about this just now. So neither conquers nor fights, you know. And we're talking about things of the spirit. There's nothing really that they are fighting for. There may be fighting other people, you know, but they're so numb. The heart is so numb. That there's really nothing worth fighting for. So destruction is
paralyzed.
Yes, that's in. Yes,
they're paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the older brother, there's a fight there. And, you know, they understand that there's a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. But the fight, but you can't conquer it. You know, there's like something missing. Like, I keep doing this in my own power. And I don't seem to be able to get the results. You know, it's like the might. You know, like it's like, you know, you ever hear Christians, you know, especially ones in ministries where, you know, they're out there in the front lines, and, you know, like it feels like when they're talking, they're grinding, their teeth are like, I'm like, you just want to say, oh, just relax, buddy. Let Jesus be the Lord, you know.
Amen, sister. Amen. Like, not
you know?
By power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When we act that way, Dr. Shirley, and I believe we all be there at some point, and when we're doing that, we're spinning our own wheels. And see, that's when we need the Holy Spirit, because when we're in the Holy Spirit, God's doing it in us and through us, and it's effortless on our part because it's Him. Yes, we have to get up and actually do it, as I said before, put your foot in the water and go in. And sometimes in over your head, you know, before you can, you know, before you feel the flow of the Spirit, you know. But that's when we are turning and grinding, and it becomes a labor. It becomes a labor, and the Holy Spirit's not in it. There's no unction. There's no anointing. There's no flow. And that's where I believe, Dr. Shirley, is... man takes over, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it now, and we're going to do it my way or no way. We feel sometimes that the Lord's not moving quick enough, or maybe He doesn't understand our need or the necessity. But you know, it says He says He does not sleep and He does not slumber in the psalm. So we just have to sometimes just moment by moment, I believe, just hand it all over to Him again and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent. Here, you take control. You do it.
You do it. You do it. Or in the case where, you know, you're the other, you're the older brother or the other brother, observant, like in the case of, you know, many ministries and especially intercessory ministry, when people are called to pray for people, you want your whole heart. You want the heart of Yeshua. You want to pray in the heart of Yeshua for your brothers and sisters and those destined to come into the kingdom. And you don't want to pray with malice in your heart or contention for their particular sin. It's very important to discern the things of the Spirit, but not to judge sin. The Lord's the only one that judges sin. He has that capacity to do that. But if we judge sin, other people's sin, we will be in danger of sinning and that same particular thing that we are judging, and that particular thing that we're judging. So we
that's
always,
right,
you know,
Dr. Shirley. That is correct, Dr. Shirley. And that's what's happened.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
Do you know, the church, when I say the church, it's not one church. It's we're the church. We're the body, right? It's
everybody.
Not denomination. So, like, I have experienced and I've seen firsthand, you know, people ministering to people, and they are cruel. They are so cruel. And again, I believe it's because pride steps in, and they feel, you know, sometimes it feels like too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Do you know what I'm saying, Dr. Shirley?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a boss. Everybody wants to be in control. And what did our Lord Jesus Christ say, Dr. Shirley? He says, on the night of the supper, the Last Supper, you know, he got up from table, okay? He got up from table, and he went and washed the disciples' feet, and he said to them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. I want you to copy what I'm doing for you. I want you to do for others. So again, it's coming back to our first love and coming back to the Lord and saying, okay, what do we need to do here? We don't need another meeting or another, you know, sitting around a table, or, but we need to come to him in prayer, like go into our inner room, you know, and close the door and one-on-one, you know, how do we, who are broken ourselves, you know, who are broken ourselves, minister to the multitudes that's going to be coming. They are going to be coming. And I believe, Dr. Shirley, we need to set the stage here.
Yes. We need to set the stage. I think you're talking, somehow I am not hearing you right now.
Do you hear me?
Hearing you. Continue talking. We're going to go into, we're still going to be on, but we're going to go into like non-streaming status, but we are still recording. It's just that we won't be able to get live. It says show is on, but not streaming. So continue on. Are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Shirley. I'm here. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Praise Jesus. So before it was Blog Talk Radio, they wanted to tell me that they were going off, and the show is on, but it's not streaming live, but it is picked up, it's being recorded. So what I want to find out, what did you say, what were you saying, if you could just rephrase what you were saying, and then we'll continue on in this broadcast?
What was the last thing that you heard me
say?
I don't know
because it was a whole, like, silent thing.
Well,
so, but we were on the situation, we were talking somewhat about about the older brother, and is always feeling like they're fighting, but they're not conquering. And the way the Lord wants us to be, where He wants us to go, is, you know, He wants us to eventually be, you know, to in this place where we know that there is a battle before us, and we place the battle in the Lord's hands, first of all. And with, when we do that, there's a fighting in a contending, and there's a conquering, you know, because we're walking in that authority of Jesus. We're walking in the authority of Christ.
We need to be careful, Dr. Shirley. We need to be very careful not to abuse the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us.
Yes, and we always need to know, we always have to be, you know, constantly aware that it's in the name of Jesus.
That's right, Dr. Shirley.
Done in our own might. It's in the name of Jesus. And even, we can't even just stop there. We have to ask the Lord in that, you know, for revelation about that. Like, you know, Lord, what happens when we use your name? Show us your glory. Give us the grace to step aside and your spirit go before us. It's more or less, you know, having his spirit in his name going before us and knowing where, you know, where we stop and where he continues, and things like that. But that isn't that the criteria for even a marriage, right? Our relationship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit is likened to a marriage. You know, where we stop and the other, you know, steps in there, and it's a give and take situation. It's not just a take, or a constant give. It's, you know, the constant giving of ourselves and receiving in a wonderful dance.
A wonderful dance. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. And talking about marriage, I feel that we have, as women and as men of the Lord, that we have kind of the men, we've got the roles mixed up a little bit, you know, as in the men, you know, the woman wear the pants, so to speak, and the men are in the background. And I just believe, like, back in Genesis with Adam and Eve, you know, it's time for every one of us to come into our place in order, in alignment, and the call that our Lord Jesus Christ has called each one of us into. Do you know, when we go before him and just say, like, we want to be a bishop, or we want to be a pastor, or we want, and maybe the Lord's calling us and has equipped us to be an intercessor. And when we're in the wrong positions, Dr. Shirley, that we feel we should be, then that's where the problem starts. That's where the problem starts, when we don't know who we are.
Yes, that's so
but
true.
But that's a whole different ball game, isn't it, Dr. Shirley?
It is. But it all starts from relationship.
Amen, sister.
That's how we perceive our relationship between God and man and ourselves and others. And when we understand what's even happening inside of us at different times, whether we, you know, are, you know, struggling with the older brother issues, or, you know, the prodigal not quite there, you know, at the sonship status, but we know we're on our way. right? And it should be an automatic thing, but we have this flesh that we have to contend with. And but it's the Lord that's contending for us, but we think we're contending, actually. And so, once we get out of that, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dr. Shirley. The battle belongs to the Lord. 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 We cannot do it on our own strength, our own power. We need to come to the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth. And he will lead, he will guide, and he will provide for his will to be done in us, through us, and around us.
Yeah. You know, and I really believe most of the time when people, like when people come to Faith Talks Live Prayer on Facebook and ask for prayer, and I used to always freeze up and like, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, right, we don't. So we have to ask, Lord, what is it? Lord, how do you want me to pray? What is it that they need? And we should always begin prayer time like that, because for the most part, the reason why they're struggling is they're believers. Is that a lot of times people find themselves in the older brother role, you know, in things of the spirit. So things can get a little bit, you know, clouded, and may require prayer to draw a person from out of that cloud of oppression and into freedom. But, you know, I really believe it's the way that others that are called to pray for people. And prayer, you know, when you pray like that, it frees up the person that's praying. When they ask the Lord for the way to pray, because we're asking for his way, right? When we don't rely on our own way to even pray for our brother or sister.
Amen. It's like, I'm sure you've experienced this. You come up to someone comes up to you and asks you for prayer, Dr. Shirley, and you start to pray for them, and you ask them, is there anything particular, you know, and they say what they feel or they think, and you start praying. But when you do go before the Lord and bring this person to the Lord, this precious little child, to the Lord and say, Lord, it's a lot of times I find it's not what we think it is that the problem is. Do you know what I mean, Dr. Shirley? And that's why we have to go to the Lord in all things. He says, moment by moment, as you call upon me, I shall answer. You shall find me with you. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's always going to the root of the problem. Do you know, the root of the problem. And a lot of times I find when I ask for prayer and the Lord starts dealing with me, it's in me. It's not in my circumstances, like it's not my children, my husband, the country, the president. It's within me. And a lot of times it's something that I didn't do, the Lord told me to do, and I didn't do because of whatever. And so I agree with you there, Dr. Shirley, that when we go to the Lord and ask him, because he's the healer, he sees, you see, he sees. We can't see. We can't see. We cannot see. But when we're with him, in him, and through him, and the Spirit, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Spirit, all these wonderful gifts, you know, that we can lift up our brother or sister and pray in the Spirit, you know, pray in the Spirit. Because when we pray in the Spirit, as you know, Dr. Shirley, it's the Holy Spirit praying within us. You know, it's not us. And it's the will of God. And then it happens. It happens. And as you have just said, it frees us up. it frees the intercessor up, the person, the prayer up,
yes.
Because we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. But what we do have is a love. We do know that Jesus is the answer, and we can bring all these things to Jesus, and he will take care of the situation. So it's just beautiful the way that we can come to the Lord through one another, also in our brokenness, in our pain, in our suffering. And I find that you cannot give what you do not have, you know. I'm sure you've experienced also that when someone comes up and tells you a problem that you have experienced yourself, and the Lord has delivered you and answered your prayer, and a miracle was given to you, well, how much easier it is, again, to have the faith. You know, he did it for me, and I know he's not a respecter of persons, so he'll do it for you too. And it's about bringing, this is what communities and things, this is what we're all about, Dr. Shirley, I believe, is bringing people to the Lord. You see, we bring people to Jesus, we bring people to the foot of the cross, or we bring people to the wherever the situation they are in. Do you know what I'm saying? We bring them, and Jesus will meet them there, if it's at the cross or wherever. You know what I'm saying? And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. That's what we're all called. You know, Jesus says in John 15:16, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. Well, what have you chosen me for? To go forth and bear much fruit in him, and take the little herding lambs and the sheep and bring them to Jesus. And have the shepherd's heart. And the only way we can have the shepherd's heart is if we know the shepherd, and if we're in the shepherd, and if we commune with the shepherd. You know, you know, Dr. Shirley, what I'm saying?
Right. And he releases, he gives us a new heart. He plants a new heart within us. He takes our cold, broken, tethered heart, and he replaces that with a new heart.
A heart of flesh. Amen, sister. Amen.
Amen.
And do you know what else? Do you know what else he does?
Yes.
Do you know what else he does?
What does he do?
He wipes away all the tears.
Yes, he does.
He wipes away all the tears. I don't have my Bible close at hand. But if we go to Revelation, Dr. Shirley, if you go there, and just read Revelation 21, I believe it is.
Revelation 21, I have my Bible open, so let me go to Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible, for those who are new to their Bibles. And what verse would you like me to read, Breach?
I would like you to start at the beginning, and I'll tell you when to stop, Doctor.
Okay. And this is titled in my Bible, The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear
from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And I just want to just pause here because I was seeing the Father writing this down on the tablets of men's hearts, on the new heart.
Hallelujah.
On the new heart. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Beautiful. And he will be my son. He will be my son. He will be my son. Isn't that beautiful?
That is.
Isn't that beautiful, Dr. Shirley?
It is. It is so beautiful. But I'm seeing something here, an urgency at the next couple of lines, that those who are in that prodigal nature or they are praying or believing the Lord for their prodigal sons or daughters to come home, they're primarily myself. They really need to persist in prayer because of the urgency of these times, and you know, time is short. There is a lot of catastrophes going happening all over the world to let us know this. Every time you turn the TV on, if you watch TV or read the newspaper, but it says right here in the next line, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place would be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And I just, every time I read that, you know, when I was in the prodigal state, I was like, oh, Lord, I just don't want to be. And, you know, it was like the Lord was just in his love, whenever I, like, visited a hotel or, you know, I was at the Y or, I don't know, this Gideon Bible would follow me all over the place, and I'd always seem to always open up that page. It was either that page or the page of Matthew about the oil, you know, the virgins, the 10 virgins, 5 had oil for the lamp, 5 did not. And it was something in me that the Father deposited me. I'm like, I don't want to be the virgins, I said, I don't even know if I'm a virgin. Well, I'm not a virgin because I had these kids out of, the first two, I was in college outside of marriage. But the thing is, every time I got sick, I'm like, oh, I've never, have oil in my lamp, if I'm, and I was thinking about physical virgin, but when we say yes to the Lord and make him Lord and Savior of our life, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he puts a new heart within us, we're starting over again.
Amen, Sister Shirley, amen. And I had a real physical miracle, like yourself, I was in sin, and it's amazing what God can do when we come to him and our brokenness and our sinfulness and our repentance. And, I came to him, and one day I was like, I'm not a virgin. And you know what he did? He made all things new. He made all things new for me, kneeling there in a little church, During the day, I just walked in and poured out my heart to him. Well, he called me, of course, but I didn't know. I thought I was doing it all on my own. But I went in Dr. Shirley, and he met me there. Now, I didn't see him, you know. I didn't see him with my eyes, my natural eyes. But he came, and a warmth from the top of my head to the tips of my toes just melted all that away. He cleansed me in his blood. He cleansed me in his blood. And as we were reading there, and you were talking about the prodigals and how we need to pray. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Daniel 10:19 came to me. So would you mind, Dr. Shirley, just flipping there? You flip there and see? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving us right now new hearts, taking away our stony old hard hearts, Lord. And you're giving us new hearts of flesh, your hearts, Lord, that the things of your heart will concern us, Lord God, that we truly will hear the cry of the poor, and we will bring them to you, Lord Jesus, that you will heal and set us all free in your love. Thank you, Lord, that we will never give up. We will never give up, Lord, because you know what, Lord Jesus? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the steadfast spirit you've put in within us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us as a body. You're the head, and we're the body. We're the community. We're Christians. And they will know that we are Christians by our love, not by our bumper stickers, not by our T-shirts or bracelets, but by our love. They will know us, Lord Jesus, that we are of you, that we know you because of our love, because of the fruit, Lord God, the fruit. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Doctor.
Daniel 10:19. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, he said, peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.
Amen. Can I just butt in there right now?
Pop right in.
I see a black lady, and she's got glasses. And right now, she's on her knees, and she's praying for a son. She's praying for a son. And sister, I have a word from the Lord for you this night, that the Lord, not only has he heard, but he is answering. He's answering right now. And he has seen your tears. He has seen your tears, and he is drying. He is drying your tears right now. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you right now. Right now. And he is putting his arm around you. His arm around you. And you can feel the tangible presence of Almighty God. Almighty God. Almighty God, take courage, sister. Be strong. For the Lord, our God, has heard your cry, and he is answering you. He is answering the cry of your heart right now. He is answering you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
When you were praying, thank you, Jesus. When you were praying, Breach, I just heard in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, that I heard it and then I saw it. The Lord says, I am going to and fro throughout the earth. I am claiming my prodigal. I am claiming my prodigal. And I saw him. I just saw him walking. He's getting them. And it's because of the prayers
yes.
that are going up.
Yes,
yes,
doctor.
Because of the prayers. Yes, Jesus.
Yes,
and,
doctor.
And
yes,
he,
doctor. Yes, 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 yes. The hound of heaven. The hound of heaven. The hound of heaven.
Oh, right
the hound
now.
Of heaven.
Right
the hound of heaven.
No.
The hound of heaven.
No. He knows where they live.
Confirmation.
Yeah.
Confirmation. Confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I think it was last night or the night before, I don't know, but before we
mm-hmm.
came on, what the Lord was showing me was eyes, and I spoke that, and today when I was in prayer with the Lord, he said his eyes were going to and fro,
okay. mm-hmm.
and the gaze, there was people, the Lord knows your address. He knows
mm.
where you are, and he's coming to get
live.
You. He's coming to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not. Be strong. Mm. Be strong. Help is on the way. Help is on the
yeah.
way. Praise be Jesus. Mm. Praise be Jesus Christ. Praise be God and his angels and his saints. Praise be God.
Thank you, Lord. And I... There's many sons and daughters that are prodigal that, you know, I just want to console mothers and fathers' hearts out there, primarily mothers, because many mothers are single and they're raising the children by themselves. But to those who are dealing with the pain of seeing a son and daughter, you know, get into that bondage of heroin addiction, drug addiction, and
prostitution.
It goes hand in hand. The Lord is saying, don't give up in your broken heart. All is not lost. He is dealing with them. And this is the generation that, believe it or not, wants to see his face. This
yeah.
is the orphan generation. And the Lord has a special heart for orphan generation, for the orphan generation, for those that are orphans. And you just need to cry out, and you need to give your children to the Father, and he will act, and he will act in ways we don't know. He will act. He will come to them in the night season. He will visit them in their sleep, in their dreams, okay? He will heal them. There are some, you know, there are some people, many there's bad drugs going around, and they don't want, I'm going to tell you, for those mothers that are praying, your sons and your daughters, they do not want to be on this stuff. But because they didn't understand the implications of what it meant for them physically, there's a pain that they have that they can't control. So the Lord is going to come on in there, and he's going to miraculously heal them. And he's also, for those who are suffering in other areas, and the Lord's really he's ministered to a realm of suffering, physical realm of suffering, whether it be through natural disasters or calamities or something that you brought upon yourself because of the choices that you make. He's now dealing in that realm of suffering where he already knows about that level because he took on your suffering when he was on the cross. He died for this. He bled his last drop of blood for this level of suffering in this day and age. And he's saying that when he comes back, like we just read in the book of Revelation, he's true to his word. He will wipe away every tear. Okay? Every tear, okay? He will take away every pain. It's going to be like a twinkling of an eyelash, and there are going to be people standing. To those who are really praying and crying out for your sons and daughters, continue, because they are the ones that are going to stand when he returns. They are going to stand, and they are going to be transformed. They are going to be changed with a twinkling of an eye. they're going to be changed. The folks, the Lord showed me the other day, the folks in Japan, there was this radiation disaster. It's just so bad. There was a tsunami. There was people lost lives and houses. And then there was the nuclear disaster. And then there was. And the Lord is saying, watch. They will. I asked the Lord, are they going to die? I did, because I was praying for them. I'm like, Lord, what do I need to pray for? Are they going to die of radiation? He said, no. You know, I said, well, Lord, what about Hiroshima? He said, they shall live and they shall not die to declare the word of the Lord. He said,
hallelujah.
His glory is going forward. There's a level of dunamis that he's planted within this generation of people that are over there, the young people. And it's rising, and it's going to extinguish the dark light of radiation like that. Dark radiation is actually, especially man-made radiation, is a lesser form of light than the glory of the Lord. Okay? And the Lord is saying his glory is going to, push forward and push out the darkness. And there is going to be restoration of Japan and the people there, and all the world is going to see it. And it's because it's like the Lord saying he's making the Model T of what he's doing. Like, this is the Model T. This is my plan. This is my plan in action. You know, this is what I'm doing to prepare the earth to receive my coming, and I'm going to do it. He's going to move one by one, and he's going to, as he uproots the principalities and powers and rulers of the world darkness, and he's already done it 2,000 years ago, but the work is we're in the final phases of this, and he's saying that he is going to, the people are going to usher in the kingdom, especially when they attain sonship and daughtership status. So it was like they're going to stand. There are people that are going to stand. Breed, you're going to stand. Your children are going to stand.
Hallelujah.
And everybody is going to stand. The Lord said he's going to extend life. Time is running short. It is running short on purpose. That we are going. We're coming to that place of fullness of times, like it talks about in Ephesians. Fullness of time, and he's resetting his people. He's resetting biological time clocks to translating, and he's transferring people into, while they're still alive here on the earth, body, mind, soul, and spirit, will, and emotion, total body salvation. He's transferring them into the eternal realm while they're still here walking. And that is the miracle of this time, because he set apart a people called his own. Yes, some people will go on to glory. They have. Yes, they have. Yes, some people have, they ended their life and they were believers and they haven't lost their salvation, but they're in purgatory. Yes, we are to pray for them because they're in a time of purgation. And yet, we who are still alive are going through our time of purgation on this earth as the church militant, the church still standing. Wow, where did this come from, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And remember, my brother, my sister, a bruised reed I shall not break, and a smoldering wick I shall not quench. Also, in Scripture we hear that the sinners and prostitutes are entering into heaven before the righteous. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? And also, lean not on our own understanding. Lean not on our own understanding. For God's ways are high above ours. And I would just love to say to those who have been praying, who have been fasting, who have been crying out to the Lord for years, that the Lord is doing a new thing today in our midst.
Yes.
He is. He's faithful. He's faithful. And that, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting an incoming call, Dr. Shirley. I'm getting an incoming call. And what that means is the Lord is wanting to speak. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and praise you that we're here in your midst right now. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord will say unto thee, though you thought you worked in vain, uselessly spent your strength. Hear the word of the Lord now, brothers and sisters. It's coming. That the word of the Lord is coming. And it shall not return to him void. That he has seen all those tears. He has seen all that you have done in the secret. Your heavenly Father has seen. And you were looking day after day, morning after morning, you were looking to see. You were going and checking. You were checking the mail. You were checking your answering machine to see. And I am telling you, this is a word from the Lord. Soon, and very soon, you are going to get your reply. In the days ahead, the Lord's saying, soon, you're going to get your answer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For I make a way where there is no way. I make a way where there is no way. And I'm removing all the stumbling blocks that the enemy of your soul has placed before you. I go before you to make the crooked path smooth. And I open the door that only I can open and close that only I can close. My hand is upon you even now. I am filling you with my peace, the peace which the world cannot give. I have called you by name and you are mine. And I am yours. I sing over you. I sing over you. And I love you. And this moment, I call you to myself to come and to rest and be renewed and be filled with my love. And as you rest in my arms of everlasting love, I shall speak to you. I shall speak to you. I shall speak to you. Receive my peace. Receive from my hand outstretched to you now. And be filled with my love. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I thank you for releasing your Holy Spirit and moving on behalf of your people as they acknowledge your way, as they place their trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for moving your people from the prodigal, the road and the root of the prodigal, where people are enslaved to sin. And also moving them out, once they say, moving them out of the slave to law, but to total sonship and daughtership. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We thank you. And, you know, Reach and I had been talking some time about how the Lord wants to establish community. And it begins with prayer. And many of you have heard the Christian adage, you know, family that prays together, stay together. And what the Lord is doing, because the enemy has definitely ravaged, we actually went on a wild rampage to destroy families through death, through drug addiction, through all these different things. And especially when there was an element of prayer holding families together. The ones that pray seem to be helped, you know, they seem to be intact. But where there's not an element of prayer uniting everything together, bringing everything to unity in the Holy Ghost, for the most part, disintegrates. And so what the Lord seems to be doing in this day and age is that he's creating families of faith in communities. And people are actually now, this year, are waking up and saying, I really want a community. I want a living community. It doesn't have to be a convent. It doesn't have to be a monastery. But I need a community where we can, I can live and pray and we can, and Breach, within this whole week, especially this week, I've heard three different people come up to me and Jeff and say that's what they desire, you know, and that's what the Lord, you know, has put on their heart. And I'm like, so then this is one of the new things that the Lord is doing. He's uniting hearts. Once we receive the new heart, he's uniting hearts, and people are longing to share and live out of the heart that Jesus gave them in community. Do you want to talk more about that? I know the Lord's called you and Richard and given Jeff and I a vision individually before we got married and also, you know, together as man and wife. And we're partially living in a community right now here, but it's not, it's on the way to, you know, what where the Lord wants us, because, you know, he wants us to be in a different situation where we, you know, can make, you know, can be witnesses 24/7, and I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses either. I had to say that. Are you there? Yes, you are.
I'm here. I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here, Dr.
And,
Shirley. Yes.
Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
Sorry. My husband and I have, in fact, that's how we met 7 years ago, in May 17th, we got married. But we were in community in Connecticut at my father's house in Moody's. And the Lord, the two of us always had a heart for community. And it takes a special kind of person to live in community. Not everyone is called to live in community, but we believe that we have been, and like yourself and Jeff, Dr. Shirley, you have, and there's other people out there, and I would just like to take this opportunity, if I may, Dr. Shirley, to just Put it out there what I believe the Lord is calling us to do, and that is start a community of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. For him a place where we can come together and one mind and one heart, you know, and just worship him and let him have a place for even people to come and be renewed and refreshed and to meet the Lord Jesus Christ one on one. And I feel like, as you do, there's we're one body. Jesus is the head and we're the body. And I believe for such a time as this, God is calling a people to come together and live in community and put him in the center of everything. Like praise and worship is very, 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 very important. And that's the foundation. You know, in Scripture, it says about the wise man, you know, the two ways, the wise man and the fool that came and asked Jesus. And what Jesus told them to do, one of them obeyed and built his house on the rock. And the winds came and buffeted it, but it stood. But the other man, the fool, built it on sand. And the winds blew, and it washed away, and it was destroyed. And I believe what the Lord's doing is calling us to build our house, build our life, build our foundation on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And how do we do that, Dr. Shirley? How we do that is we worship the Father in spirit and truth. It's time for us all as a body to come back into alignment of what he wants for us, each of us. And there's no one person. It's not about a religion, Dr. Shirley. It's about a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you,
through one another.
That's how we come. That's how we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not everybody sees visions and all this. And do you know what I mean? There has to be a body of people where people can come and we can help. We can help our brothers and sisters, you know, to hear and
to hear and to see. Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? For instance, do we have time for a quick story?
I think we do. We have about 10 minutes.
Okay, Dr. Shirley, my life. I'm not going to go into about a month ago. The Lord said that he wanted me to call up a friend, and it was my birthday, and to spend some time with her, like to go out to lunch or something. So anyway, I did that. I went and I called her up, and I said, I believe, you know, the Lord wants us to get together. So, and she says, oh, it's your birthday. I'll bring you out to Friendly's. For lunch for your birthday. I said, okay, fine. So I went and to her home, and we prayed and we talked about the Lord and everything, and we did some ministry, you know. She prayed for me, I prayed for her, end of story. We left, we went to Friendly's, and we were sitting in Friendly's, and like this isn't a new thing for me, you know, the way the Lord works continuously. When we come to him in prayer and say, Lord, use me, melt me, mold me, do whatever you want with me today, you know. And the little server came over and he started, you know, to talk to us, get her menu. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon me and I started to minister to him in the middle of the restaurant. And He was just taken back, and he was like, how do you know this? And that was it. He went away and got her food and everything and everything. And he says, I want you to pray for me because I feel that I'm supposed to go to such and a college. I want to do music therapy for kids with autism. And
da-da-da-da.
And I went, I will surely do that. So we prayed, and the Lord said to me, that's not where I want him. But I didn't say that to him. I went home, and to cut a long story short, I went to visit him today because the Lord spoke to me and says, I want him to go to Berkeley in Massachusetts. I don't want him to go to that place, and I want you to go and tell him this, but don't worry, it's going to be a confirmation. So I went, my husband and kids, we went to Friendly's, and we met our friend, and he was so excited to see us, and I said, you know, how are you doing? And he says, oh, I didn't get to the college that I wanted to, because the man was so rude to me. He said to me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you need to go to Berkeley. So needless to say, I explained to him, and he said, you know, he said to me, we prayed, and he said that he wants to get in touch. He wants to keep me, gave me his phone number and everything, and we're meeting this week because I feel that he's, this is a young boy, I think he's 17, a very handsome young boy, and I believe the Lord has a call in this boy's life. And Lord still, but he doesn't know Dr. Shirley, he doesn't know, you know, and he needs someone like
he needs
me or yourself. He needs community.
Yeah.
He needs community. So isn't the Lord faithful? Isn't the Lord faithful, Dr. Shirley?
Oh, he is. And, you know, it's just falling on my heartstrings for this generation of young people that, you know, many people, many of these young kids, a lot of, there's a high incidence of mild autism, ADD, ADHD, and maybe even you know, the processing of just problems and not knowing how to solve them, not having the equipment. But, you know, where these deficits are, you know, the community can help, a Christian community, a living community, a part-time community, you know, but they have to be, you know, a community outside of the church that, you know, a domestic church that has all the trimmings of community, some, you know, more prayer than others, but an integration of all that so that we can offer, you know, an environment for, you know, the next generation. Because
a safe environment.
A faith environment, exactly. And I was asking the Lord, show me, we have about 8 minutes left, show me what it would look like, you know, show me a little glimpse of this. I've seen some of it in the dream. I saw the kitchen, and I saw different people coming together. I saw this, and I saw, you know, baptismal fonts, because we, even as a Catholic, if, you know, say that there's a shortage of priests, we don't know who, you know, is, you know, a lot of these young kids, because they haven't had parents that, maybe their parents died or whatever, and they're in the system. They need to, you know, be baptized. I baptized 3 people in my lifetime because they were unbaptized, and I saw that the enemy was having a field day with them, and I was like, you know what? You really need to receive Jesus, and you need to be baptized with the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, you know, I would baptize them, and then I would watch them over a period of time, and then they would come close to the Lord and things like that, you know, and everyone.
Dr. Shirley, you hit the nail on the head right there when you said, I watched them over a period of time. This isn't a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. This is a relationship. This is a relationship. Like for us, you know, these people, that's why I asked the young man for his phone number, is I want to keep in touch with him.
Sure. Yes. 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 Because when we're finally establishing community, he's going to be able to come there and, you know, whatever, you know, wherever life is bringing him, and he's going to, you know, he'll have a place, you know, whether he visits, you know, during the day or, you know, just a time, a place of refuge when he needs refuge, you know, because people are going to need refuge. The Lord says he's raising up houses of refuge. That's what, it's houses of refuge and retreat, but, you know, he brought me back to that first R word, you know, refuge. Places of refuge, because the times are going to require it. And I just looked open to Acts in the New Testament, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And this is what we're all called. This is in the fellowship of believers, but this is also, you know, community, you know, living in community. Let's see. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And this is, it contains the, all those who are far off, the prodigal. I just want to end with this and offer communion. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from the corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the first set of believers. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are all elements of a healthy Christian community, 24/7, you know, living in common. Everyone was filled with awe, and many signs, wonders, and miracles, miraculous signs, were done by the hands of the apostles. All of the believers, all right, this is what they were doing. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, wherever they broke bread. They broke bread in their homes. That sounds like community to me. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord